Man does not live on bread alone.
What concerns me is, do we have enough ice for all this beer?
Plenty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, how about
food, son? Did you bring enough food?
Plenty.
Plenty. Will you get serious? Give me the rest of that beer.
Peek-a-boo, you fucks, you.
I see you, you motherfuckers.
You want to talk, or do you want to bet?
We had 2 bags of grass, 75 pellets of mescaline, 5 sheets of high-powered blotter acid, a salt shaker half full of cocaine, a whole galaxy of multicolored uppers, downers, screamers, laughers, also a quarter tequila, quarter rum, case of beer, pint of raw ether, 2 dozen emu.
Having cards is a foolproof system.
It's also illegal.
It's not illegal, it's frowned upon, like masturbating on an airplane.
I'm pretty sure that's illegal, too.
Yeah, maybe after 9/11, where everybody gets so sensitive. Thanks a lot, Binbot.
Dude, I totally understand family shit. Don't feel like it's not. I get that.
No, it's just I got through town and I'm all right. I'm going to get ready to record and then I'll cook dinner. And the first thing I do, I'm hooking up my headphones. And what is that noise? I'm hearing tsss. I'm like, no, these are new headphones.
That's what was going on. Okay.
And then I'm all, what the fuck? Oh, I go out there and she's frying up chicken. Then the whole house is smoky. I'm all, oh, no. It's like, okay, all right, let's get this taken care of. So they're eating. They're all quiet now. So
That's cool. Dude.
We're good.
No rush. No, it's all right. It's no big deal. Like I said, I get like two mornings out of the week, I get up early. So, you know, not a huge deal. Let's make sure we know where we're at. I'm actually waiting for my wife now to turn down the furnace that I can hear in the background. But
yeah.
but I think we're kind of ready. She just got home with her new truck, so you know she's all excited.
Does she like it? She like it?
Not too bad. Yeah, it's a it's like a 2007 Toyota Tacoma, but it only has like 80,000 miles on it, which
nice.
Surprisingly for a Toyota, fuck, usually they're just beat to shit, you know.
Right.
So anyway, but. Yeah, we can kick this off whenever you're ready. I'm recording now, but we're going to go ahead and roll into this.
Sounds good. Let's do it.
All right. Sounds good. Here we go. So, hey, everybody. Yeah, welcome to Vegas Confessions Episode 2, I believe. So we're trying to keep this on track a little bit. I know we had some people ask, are you going to do this every, it drops every Wednesday? We're sure going to try. I was just talking to Julian about just life busy stuff, and sometimes that gets in the way, but this is what we're gonna try to do. So again, we're sticking to the same format. I got some shout outs real quick, and then Julian, you can roll into your stuff. I think actually we got an update on some audio too on your side. Let's hear you.
Hello, people. We should be sounding loud and clear. We should sound like a regular person again.
all tinny and stuff like that. That's awesome, man. You do sound a lot better. Yeah, we did a quick little edit, I think, Sunday. And, yeah, a world of difference. So, as we go on and you guys pay us money, we'll get better. I'm just joking.
Yeah,
nobody's paying us money. So, my shout-outs, actually. So, we had something last episode. We covered some history. And we covered one of the Golden Gate history things. There was a certain amount of time where it was actually called Sal Sagav. And I'd say anybody who guesses that. Well, Eric Rosenthal guessed it was Las Vegas. He's one of the only ones that tweeted out. So, sir, you win a Tic Tac. We're going to try to get that in priority mail to you right away. So, hope you enjoy it. But also, too, there's some breaking news. Not really breaking news on my side, but, and I was talking to Julian a little bit earlier about this. But there is a guy that I kind of grew up with back in my day. He passed away. And the reason it's kind of important, in fact, there's a little clip in the first episode of this that you might recognize who he is. But Mel Tillis passed, actually, I think Sunday. And he actually is a country star back from way long ago. But with that being said, he was actually in both the Cannonball Run and Twos, some of my favorite old hokey 80s movies. He actually played along with Sammy Davis Jr. and Dean Martin. If nobody has watched Cannonball Run 1 and 2, they are hokey, but they're really good. You get to see like old Vegas in action. It's kind of dumb. But anyway, he passed. Julian, what do you got on your side, man?
Man, I just, again, Shane, between last week and today, all the love we've been getting over the last week of hey, we really loved the last episode, and people really seem to come and like that pod swap a lot, and it was really fun to do, you know, on both ends, and, you know, with Chris just being like, hey, let's do this, and it was just a really great outcome, and the pouring of support from everybody has just been a lot of love, and, you know, I can't thank everybody who's just been messaging us through Twitter, through Facebook, even the people that know us personally that have been texting me, hey, Jay, you know, you guys have been doing great, and the feedback has just been phenomenal. This is what we were, you know, expecting for exactly. one, but, you know, yeah. when you get it and you hear it, you know, obviously we're here to have a good time, and that's the vibes we want to give and bring and get at all times, and, you know, when you get it and you're getting it in return, it feels great. So again, listening and looking right away when my phone's blowing up about people who are commenting on the show and what they like, and it's really phenomenal. And, you know, to look on iTunes and see we already have 5 reviews, that's pretty freaking awesome. You guys are fucking awesome, man. Thank you so much. That's so neat. I pulled
that
up.
That is so cool. It sounds dumb, but, you know, it makes us giddy. So, you know, I mean, we do appreciate that. That's you know, again, we're kind of fans of our own right as far as all the other podcasts and what made us do this. And so, you know, it's kind of neat to be, you know, to see that and have that. It's a new thing for us. And, yeah, you know, thanks, guys. That's awesome.
So funny, too. We would get excited about the little things. Like, here I am. I'm like, hey, Shane, call me earlier this week. Call me so we can record and I can hear this microphone. And you're like, I got a microphone, too. And, you know, we're just the little yeah, shit yeah. that excites us, you know. So, I good. But dumb. This is exactly so what we
fucking,
want. We want to give them
completely.
A good show.
Yeah, we're geeks completely. My wife is so pissed off. And what's funny is she does other podcasts with me. She, you know, she listened to this one, but at the same time, she's like, how come you pay more attention to Vegas Confessions than you do? Shut up. I don't want to talk about it. I'm like, sorry, honey. This one's important. There's a lot more to it on this one than it is, you know, what we do and kind of batter back and forth type thing. But, yeah, definitely, man. That's cool. That's awesome. So we are actually going to roll into, we're going to cover what we promised to cover. So some of the highlights, and actually we try to kind of mimic this a little bit. We want to kind of flow from one thing to another. Obviously everybody, not everybody, but some people that are kind of paying attention to the Las Vegas downtown. For those of you who are brand new to Las Vegas, this might be new news. You know, you might not know. A lot of people know the strip obviously and things like that, but some of the big things about going on downtown is just the reinvention. And tearing down Las Vegas Club and what that is. So what we kind of thought we'd do, this is ironic that this episode rolls into some of the history of the other casinos. So we wanted to look up a little bit of one of the new, God, what, Julian, what'd you say? He's like the new Steve Wynn, right?
Yeah, that's what they're saying, this generation Steve Wynn.
It is crazy. And it is, too, because, you know, you look back on history like Bob Stupak and Jay Cerno and these guys that kind of reinvented and brought Vegas up and did this and did that. Here's a new incarnation of what it is. And that's Derek Stevens, you know, for those of you who know him. We're going to kind of talk a little bit about, you know, how he got his foot into Vegas. And then we're going to roll into some history. And we'll kind of go back and forth with it a little bit and see what you guys think. So he's from Detroit, for those of you guys who don't know, and he actually has a brother, Steven, I believe. They got their foot in the door in 2006. They, you know, Golden Nugget, which we've been to, and if anybody hasn't had a chance to actually stop and check it out, for a downtown property, it's really phenomenal. I mean, it kind of comparatively, as far as the strip goes, I would say, I don't know, Julian, you say it's kind of, you know, one of the best casinos down there as far as what they have and the space and the square footage and what's going on.
You know, being that when we went down this the last trip when we met, I didn't know what to expect. So, you know, from El Cortez to the D to the Grand, I mean, I'm trying to remember all the hotels the very first time I'm in them, but that one was one that stuck out to me because, I mean, yeah, the name, the Golden Nugget, but then when you guys took me back and were like, hey, check out these gold nuggets. I'm like, oh shit, these are real. And
oh,
you're
that's
actually
right.
Looking at them. And I thought that was just pretty neat, you know? So yeah, it makes it hard to forget. Yeah.
It does. It's cool that they have it in there. Some people say, you know, they're not real gold and it's somewhere else. I don't know. I still like living with the myth. But that's kind of how he got his foot in the door. So his company in Detroit, him and his brother, they bought 50% stock in Golden Nugget back in 2006, kind of got their foot in the door. And then after that, you know, of course they did some small renovations, but then they had their eyes on kind of a bigger picture. And what I didn't know, I knew about the D. I didn't know what the D was before, because I know a lot of strip history, but I, you know, the downtown is kind of a, you know, a different beast of its own. It actually was called the Fitzgeralds back in the day. It was actually owned by a guy called Don Barden, one of the first minorities to own a casino back, you know, back when. He had it, and then, of course, it's just an old property, really, back in the early, you know, in the 70s, just kind of ran down. They purchased it, and Julian has a little bit more, I think, on how they purchased it, because this is weird. We couldn't, usually most casinos, you can kind of find a price of what they sell for. This one wasn't released necessarily, so it was a weird setup. But they bought that in 2011, and then, of course, renovated it, and they put like $22 million in the renovation. On this thing, kept most of the employees, kept most everything. Really, nobody got laid off, which is cool. That was one of the first things of just Derek Stevens and how he does things. And I don't know, dude, you looked up a little bit about how it was purchased, I guess.
So, yeah, like I remember you were saying something like, dude, I can't find anything. And you said you went to some website, which was kind of funny to me. I was like, there's a website specifically about this kind of stuff. And it makes sense. Right? It does.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but what happened was the previous owner had passed away, and I believe his last name was Barden, and when he passed away, it was basically sold to his estate, basically people that represent his family and stuff like that. So they didn't disclose the actual price on the sale. So that was never, ever discussed. Oh. That was just one of those things that never came out, which I thought was interesting. And I'd looked around all over, too. And then I kind of Wikipedia'd everything and seen, wait, oh, okay, this makes sense now. So I'm thinking because of family reasons.
Yeah, that's where the probate comes in, too. Okay, that makes sense. That's probably why. And that might have been, you know. I combed all over the place trying to find what this possibly could be for what it was sold for. I'm still curious on what it sold for, you know, honestly. I mean, and what it is now is amazing. Actually, yeah, if you want to go into kind of what the D stands for and some of the gambling stats on that, like where we sit now.
Yeah, the D actually stands for several things, which I had no clue. We knew it stand for Detroit, but which was the Derek's stomping grounds, but it also stands for downtown and Derek's nickname, which eventually is Big D. I'm not sure if people still call him that.
I've never heard that.
I'm going to be calling him that.
Yeah, I see how that flies when you actually see him. I've never met the guy. I know he hangs actually in – he hangs in Golden Nugget a lot. He hangs in D a lot. I've never had the opportunity to meet him. I know some – I've talked to some people who have. He just – he's a really nice guy. I don't – have you met him at all?
Actually, we did meet him Vegas Vacation 4. This was actually pretty cool, Shane. I don't think I told you this. So when we got in the first day, we had our first meet and greet, and then we jumped on a bus and went downtown to go to the D. Well, when we got into the doors at the D and we walked in, there was a group of about 60 to 70 of us, and we all just marched in, a bunch of fools, and we're ready to get drunk, and, you know, we're having a blast already. And the security walks up. He's like, hey, are you guys the guys on the bus? And we had two bus loads, and we're like, yeah, because one of the guys from You Can Bet on That actually put on Twitter, hey, we're heading to the D, and Derek Stevens saw it. So he's like, all right, cool. Oh. So when we got down, the security actually passed out $25 chips to everybody. And,
shit.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. And it was really neat.
Huh. I heard about that from Mark a little bit.
It says a little bit about the dude, man.
Right. No, you paid for the people you meet. I remember we met the poker crowd in Caesars, and he went and got like Lucky Chips and hand them out to us. Me and Shannon.
That was crazy because he was just a stand-up dude.
Yeah. No, like I said, it's just, you know, and it's just neat to meet that and be part of that. And that's what Derek Stevens is, I think, you know, mainly.
Right.
So, you know, the Las Vegas Club, what was that purchase like? I think that's on your side.
Las Vegas Club is purchased, and we all know the teardown is now in progress. There's no reveal yet or what the plans are for its renovations, but if anything, it's closest first to retrofits of properties, because we know what's coming. It's going to be awesome. I mean, let's be real. All of his properties are rocking right now. I mean, you go into them, you have a good time. I've heard people say a little bit about, you know, the D's a little loud, and it is. I mean, it's pretty loud in there,
It's loud everywhere downtown. That's the thing. You can't, I mean, if people are bitching about noise, then shut up.
There's music everywhere you go.
You really can't get away from that.
The Slotzilla thing. I mean, there's music everywhere.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I think actually Derek Stevens does the, you know, the band that's on Fremont Street, the stage they have sit down at the kind of end of that Slotzilla. That's all him, too. Like they brought
I think
that
there's
in
actually
well.
Like three or four of those stages. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, and like I said, it's downtown. You know, we share the golden nugget, and literally, like, our glass of water vibrated across at 3 o'clock in the morning. I mean, it's loud. It's downtown.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it is what it is. Again, like last podcast, you know, we covered and we were talking about Bally's and, you know, and the Dre Club going on. Yeah. You know, if you're going to complain about noise, then maybe don't go to Vegas. I don't know. You know, it's one of those things.
What was pretty neat is when we walked into one and we saw some old pictures, and then we'd walk into another one and we're like, oh, look at these pictures. And then we're like, oh, let's go to another one. You know, we just want to see what's next.
I think we got a picture sitting by the Rat Pack was hanging on the wall. I love that picture. I still got that on my phone. That's awesome. You know, because they would hang at the Golden Gate at the Prohibition Bar. I mean, granted, it's not what it was, but, you know, what they did, you know, I mean, that was kind of their after, you know, their after concert, you know, they do their shows and they hang down there. It, again, nothing but history, you know. So that's where we're going to roll into, actually, history. So we brought up Derek Stevens to bring up the Golden Gate, to bring up the D, to bring up the Las Vegas Purchase, which, you know, again, kind of a little shout out to Scott Roman. You know, he works downtown and he does a lot of the, you know, he works right there. So literally he can snap pictures every day of what it looks like. And now I think the towers are gone pretty much down. I don't think there's a lot left for what's, and I don't know what the timeline looks like, but I know that was really tricky because they literally had to bring a crane and kind of pick it apart. You know, they couldn't, you know, you take it and demolition it just because of location, what's going on. So it's been kind of a weird tear down and,
did you see some of the things that happened through the teardown?
I did. Did you see the cheerleader thing?
Well, there was the cards and then the cheerleader outfits.
The cheerleader outfits, like 1,000 outfits, just, you know, spattered across the building. I'm like, really? No, nobody cleaned this shit out. It's just standing there. That's crazy. Yeah.
Poor first timers in Vegas are like, what the fuck is that?
I know, right? Exactly. Looking. That's so funny. But that. So I don't know. I think now. Yeah, again, it's pretty much down. So you're going to start building and see what they – and I didn't catch what their idea is as far as a time for getting structures built back. And I didn't come across that. I don't think they really necessarily have one. That right now they're just calling it 18 Fremont is what they're calling it. That's kind of the project name. They're not changing it into anything else, which rolls us into some history. So what we're going to do, we're going to cover the Las Vegas Club first, downtown, and then we're going to segue into the El Rancho, which was the one on the Strip. Originally, the Las Vegas Club downtown had an address of 2123 Fremont. It actually was not in the location it originally is now. The building actually was Overland Hotel, opened in 1905, which technically it was hotel, and then the casino came after. We all know from the last podcast episode that we covered a little bit of Golden Gate. You know, Las Vegas was founded in 1905. Golden Gate opened in 1906. This one, actually, the casino downstairs, what it would be called, didn't open in 1931. But the actual structure that kind of followed and the name of the hotel followed it eventually where it is now, which we'll cover. It went through a couple different names. The hotel stayed the same, the Overland Hotel. It went through Frank Donovan's Chatterbox Club. It was called, like, Talk of the Town, you know, for a few years. And then it landed back on what they call the Las Vegas Club, again in 31, because gambling was legal in 31. And so it burnt down, basically. It burnt down more than once. And the owner that had at the time in, I think, 49, he actually decided, you know what, I'm going to pick it up. He bought land across the street. He moved it and shifted it. Ken Hoosel was that guy. And that's where it lands now, which is 18 Fremont Street. And he decided he was going to kind of stick out a little bit. He had the tallest sign in downtown at the time. And there's a picture, and I don't know, Julian, if you've seen this, but there, and God, safety nowadays. There's a picture of this, I think it's in the 50s. It was from taken from a helicopter, but they actually put this gal in a swimming suit on top of the sign with a martini in her hand, and they took a picture of her down. I mean, this sign's like, it's freaking 20 feet in there, and she's just like hanging out on top this thing. And there's no, I don't know if there's any safety involved. I'm sure she wanted to get down as quick as she could, but it's that was their advertisement. You know, hey, we're the tallest sign, da da da, look at this. And that's kind of what their go-to was for a while. In 61, it changed owners, kind of kept the same name, but they still ran the Overland Hotel above it, and then kept the casino down below and did whatever their gambling stats was, you know, for that.
Sold to Barrett Gaming in 2002. There was a talk for 5 or so years on what to do with the property. A new poker room opened up in 2007, and finally in 2012, the hotel towers closed and left only the casino. Now in 2017, the Las Vegas Club was bought by Derek Stevens, and we're slowly watching history change in Vegas and to be transformed into yet another reincarnation of hopefully something pretty fucking cool. So even though we're losing history, Shane and I just want to remind you guys that this segment in our podcast, history can be erased but never forgotten. So there you go.
Did you find any gambling stats on that towards the end or no?
I mean, they have everything I found is for the Las Vegas Club, dude. No way. I mean, I have stuff for current on, some of the other ones, but there it's just too hard to find anything as far as back then in the days.
Right. Right. No, totally get that. You know, like I said, I think it, you know, for what they were doing, they shut down, then they ran the hotel up above and kind of mix and match out a little bit, completely shut the casino down. And for those of you who are no history, I guess, to a certain point, there was another club that opened up in 31, the exact same day, I shit you not, like April 1st, 1931, it opened up, and that was a Boulder Club. We're not really going to cover that because we don't have a lot of time. It wasn't as big, and it didn't really turn into what, you know, what the Las Vegas Club turned into, but it was there, just so you know. And that's that. So I think we're going to roll on to the strip, Julian, if you're cool.
Yeah, sounds good. Let's do it. So picture it. In 1940, barely anything on the strip with an exception of a couple small clubs like the Paradise and Red Rooster. A guy named Jay Cashman asked Thomas Hole, who owned the chain of El Rancho Hotels, to build one of what is now the Strip. Built at a cost of $425,000, it opened its door on April 3rd, 1941. This was actually the first resort-style casino it opened in Vegas, including downtown. El Rancho offered horseback riding, a swimming pool, a theater where acts from across the country would come to play, along with the largest dining room in Vegas. So for gaming, El Rancho had 4 tables, two blackjack tables, 1 roulette table, 1 craps table, along with 70 slot machines.
That blows my mind. You think about the shit nowadays in the casinos, and like that's what they open with. You know, and El Rancho was one of the biggest ones around back in the day. I mean, you wonder if they're full or just why wouldn't they add something more compared to what it is now?
Even like the Las Vegas Hotel, when it started off as a fucking tent, dude, people would gamble just go. I mean, it didn't matter where you put a freaking table, people are going to end up showing up and playing.
Yeah, back in the day. Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, that's cool. But like I said, you know, some of those were like strictly casinos, and then they, you know, again, their rancho was kind of the first, you know, this is what it is. You know, 47, I know it shifted ownership. It expanded a little bit. You know, they added some of the square footage and what was going on. It actually burnt down in 1960. They kind of battered back and forth for a while whether they're going to rebuild it, what was going on. And then, this is my fucking tidbit, and I can't wait till we start getting into like the 60s, 70s because this guy was fucking crazy. So Howard Hughes ended up buying like the 60-acre parcel. There's nothing on it. 60 acres of this half-burnt-down casino sitting there. He bought it in 1970. Did nothing really with it because he was, again, you know, knocking futs. And he ended up tearing everything kind of down. He sold bits and pieces off. Finally, 2015, all the way into that era, it turned into the Las Vegas Festival Grounds. And there's a little bit of the Grand Vacations. Hilton, I think, sets on a little parcel. They bought some of that off. But that's kind of – and, you know, honestly, so where it's at, which I was trying to – picture it, because we've walked, my wife and I, We've been up on that side of the strip. We've hit, you know, Circus and all the other ones, as sad as that property is, and kind of walk back and figure out, like, where it is as far as what you see. So if you look at where Circus is, it's right next to the Hilton Resorts, and it's just before the new Lucky Dragon. There's a crossroad that goes there. SLS is kind of in that area. That's where that's at. But honestly, dude, I've never heard of the Las Vegas Festival Grounds. I hate to say that, but I've never heard. So I don't know what they do. I think the last really big thing in that area is going to be like the, you know, the Paradise Shopping, you know, when and that area, and then it goes that way. I don't know. I don't know if they have anything set up or stages. I've never really been in that area. Again, it's so weird to know that that was a strip that far up, and now that's really not the strip anymore. It's more this way. It's just crazy. So that's history. What's going on? I think Julian has something about something else.
Let's talk some food.
Of course, guys, it's time to talk some food in Las Vegas. You know me, I'm a chef here in California, and I look forward to checking out Vegas food and what it has to offer. So, of course, this segment, we're going to be checking out Carson's Kitchen downtown. Really, really neat spot. Kind of, you know, it didn't look like a restaurant. It was kind of just like a white building. Really, really neat spot. I'm going to start doing things in my food reviews. I'm going to start doing their stars on Yelp reviews and Google. So that way, I know some people, like, as soon as they're getting ready to head out to spots, they're going to automatically Yelp it or Google it or see what's close. And even when they're on the go, you know, they're going to check out what's nearby and if they're looking for a certain style of food. But again, that's one thing I'm going to start doing. And on Yelp and on Google, this restaurant has 4.5 stars. So it says something. It's a really cool little spot. I had never even heard of it. I remember asking the server when I sat down at the table, I said, "Hey, is this like the other Carson's Kitchen downtown?" But that it had nothing to do with it. Apparently it was that one downtown at the Link Promenade is called 7th and Carson, and this one is called Carson's Kitchen. So that's where I got confused.
Okay, so that's not even close to the same. Okay.
Right.
Okay, gotcha.
So this place, like I said, little white building, walked inside, music was going, the chefs are literally right there cooking in front of you. I mean, pretty neat little spot. They had a bar, I believe, in the backside, and then they actually ended up, because there were so many of us, they took us upstairs outside in the back. It was kind of like a backyard, and they took us upstairs, and we were eating on top of the building, actually, at like a long table. I believe there was probably about 12 of us. Super, super cool little spot. They had music going outside, nice variety of music. I remember a couple people mentioning, you know, "I like this song." And as soon as we won't leave until we hear a bad song. And it was just an inside joke. And then once we were headed out already, one of the songs was playing that somebody didn't like. And they're like, "It's perfect. It's just happening the way we needed it to." But yeah, just a perfect little spot to go and eat. They call the experience eating there a social experience. So when they tell you about their menu, they explain that their serving portions are social plate portions. So they kind of entice you to share.
I see what you're going. Yeah, yeah. That's cool.
I like that concept. I saw this the day before we had went to Wicked Spoon, or maybe it was earlier that day. But we went to Wicked Spoon, and it was a buffet at the Cosmo, and they had like just little portions of everything. So I thought that was pretty neat because you won't overdo it and stuff yourself right away, and you get to try, you know, a little more of what's around.
So it's not like big plates that you share within what you're doing. They're little plates, but you can have, you know, instead of like say one big thing everybody share, and you have like three or four.
It's pretty cool concept. You know, I was at first, we were all kind of iffy because we're, again, 12 different strangers who don't know each other, but we're going to share food. But it is what it is. I think we all ordered some appetizers. And then I tried one of my buddy Saul's. He had a deviled egg, and it was a crispy pancetta, and it was topped with caviar. I was a little curious. I thought, you know, I'm going to try one. And it was pretty good. It was different. Again, I'm not a big foodie. I'm not into, you know, high-class foods. I mean, I'll try something. You know, I know cooking. I know the way things are supposed to be done, but you could only have so many fine meals. I like to eat and I like to be on the go, especially in Vegas. I don't need 2 hours to sit down. So,
right.
But it was a really, really, really neat experience at this place because, again, we had some really good appetizers. I think on the other side of the table, I saw barbecue burnt ends. I saw bacon jam. They also were eating some crispy chicken skins. So they serve a little variety of everything. And that was, you know, just some of the appetizers that a couple people ordered. And my wife, I think she ordered what was called the butter burger. And it was pretty cool because it was just a butter topped bun. Yeah, it was a butter topped bun, cheddar cheese, lettuce, tomato, pickle, avocado, I believe. But the bun was buttered, and that was the big deal on that that burger. And their highlight was they served tater tots as the sides instead of French fries. So that was pretty cool. We felt like, you know, we were at Sonic again eating tater tots.
Man, so. I hate to tell you, dude, tater tot guy or a fry guy? Because I love, my wife and I, we will hands down do tater tots any day of the week, vice fries.
Yeah, really? You know, I like tater tots because I don't always eat them. So when you get them, I like them. But I think I got to stick to French fries. Dude, I like me some French fries.
That's so funny. That's funny. That's I love a place that offers that. That's fucking neat. That's cool. So,
side note, if you guys ever go to Sonic, there's a Sonic by you. They do something called Extreme Tots, chili cheese, fucking phenomenal. Have you tried them, Shane?
Oh, no, I don't think so. There's a little place in Montana called 4B's, and they had like fries with chili and ranch on the side and cheese. And when I was in high school, I used to eat that shit, but I can't do it anymore.
Okay, back to this restaurant. Sorry, guys. This is what we could do all day. Anyway, so myself, I ordered what was called the Secret Sunday Chicken Sandwich. And this, what they told me is that they marinated the chicken breast in dill pickle juice over 12 hours.
Oh.
I was like, oh, that's pretty, sounds interesting. So then they bread it and they deep fry it. I'm like, okay, sounds good. So I tried that. It came with the, I believe it was a garlic mayo aioli. It had the fried chicken breast, came with the lettuce, tomatoes, and bacon. It also had, it was a spicy mayo aioli. So it had a little kick to it. Really, really delicious. And like I said, complimented with the side of tater tots. Really, really well done. I made sure on the way out, you know, I'll walk back in the kitchen. Hey guys, great job. And I was filming with the GoPro and they're like, oh, thank you so much. And you know, to see the kitchen light up, that's what I do when somebody comes back and tells us, hey, you made my day. Like that's what it's about. So, Carson's Kitchen, guys, if you're in downtown, I think a block away from the strip, it's not too far, a block away from Fremont. It's not too far. Really, really good food. Nice social vibe, fun atmosphere, and just, again, cool little experience. You don't have to go to, you know, where a lot of people are eating. It wasn't too packed. I think it was just they were having an issue getting all of us sat at one time, so they wanted to make sure they had their big table for us. So really, really nice service. The server was really, really nice. My wife mentioned her a couple of times, like, hey, this lady is super nice, and she was. And then I thought what was really neat is once we were getting ready to head out, they literally give you a book and your check comes in. Yeah. Your check comes in a book and you basically put the check or take care of your check or your money, put it in the book and then just close it up. Kind of like a millennial thing, I guess. I don't know. Pretty interesting.
It's like Pizza Rock does the records, you know, right. That's a menu. See, shit like that's fucking neat. That's right. I like shit like that. And just in case anybody cares, it is actually 124 South 6th Street. Downtown Las Vegas. So yeah, that's the actual address.
Awesome. Great little spot, man. I can't recommend it enough. I mean, I'm going to keep coming again with these food reviews. I'm one who likes to try stuff. I like to experience stuff. My wife, she likes to stay safe to what she likes, but I like to be able to get out of that realm and just try something new for the first time. And just to say I tried it, and it is what it is after that point. Maybe I'll never try it again. Maybe I'll try it again. The deviled eggs with caviar, I'll give it a go one more shot.
Yeah, see, I've never heard of that. There's a place that actually Karen and Mark talk about, people that we know, Bizarre Meats, up in SLS. Yeah. I've never, I mean, I want to, I'm kind of afraid. I'm not too sure what that's going to be. But yeah, dude, I'm all for new. Yeah, again, around the world, you know, I used to eat balut like on a, you know, Sunday morning, which is a Filipino dish for those of you who know, you know. But yeah, dude, awesome. That's cool. So you'd recommend it, sounds like.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, not especially being a first timer, I didn't know what I was getting into, and a lot of these restaurants, you know, I didn't know what to expect. But yeah, it really, really overwhelming with, you know, that just the service, the music, the atmosphere. And again, it was hard enough to judge a lot of these places and get too into it because I'm chilling with a group of cool ass people. So I mean,
right,
in my book, they took care of us all well. I think one guy even had a weird, he had a weird side order. He just wanted a side of pickles. He's like, I'm really craving pickles. And sure enough, she came back with a little bowl of pickles. And
was he pregnant?
Yeah, he was just, I don't know. I thought he was stoned, but I ain't going to say that.
That's funny. Yeah, I'm the same way. And I love shit like that. I mean, it's kind of neat, you know, for the restaurant business is just, it's fucking tough to open a restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
They close quick if you don't have the clientele. There's another one I think it's Five Brothers. I think I just heard news today. They shut down. They've only been open for like 5 months, and they shut down downtown Vegas. Yeah, they just didn't, you know, restaurants are tough. I mean, especially when you're competing like you are in Vegas. Yeah. You know, you really have to have a gimmick. You know, it's one of those things, definitely. So that's awesome, man. So we're going to actually do, we're going to roll into something else that some of the people that really haven't been to Vegas for a while, or they've never been to Vegas and they kind of want to do this, and we'll cover this one kind of quick. And then Julian's got a follow-up on it too, which is kind of fucking cool. So, you know, we'll cover that. I wanted to, the last one we did, Uber, Lyft, kind of the prices and the fares, what's going on. This one, and it may be small to some people, but it's kind of cool depending on where you're staying and what you're doing. But it's the casino trams on the casinos. You know, there's some of them that kind of shook hands with one another and said, all right, man, you know, we're going to, you know, we'll do a tram from here to here and here to here. And there's some places that you stay at, and a lot of people don't know because a lot of these trams are in the back of the casino. If you don't know where to go, you'll never know what's even fucking there.
I didn't even know they existed. You know, I mean, you see them, but I didn't know where the hell to catch them.
Yeah, exactly. And that's half the battle. Again, most of these are in the back. You know, if you ever want, and I've caught every single one of these. So if you're a little bit more, we're not going to really cover it here, but if you want a more specific, again, you know, you can email vegasconfessionspodcast@gmail.com. be more than happy to tell you whatever you want to know between the trams and back and forth. It's not that hard once you kind of locate, but it is what it is. So we're going to start kind of on one side, we'll work our way up. Manila Bay goes through Luxor and Excalibur, and that train will run, so it's a daily from 9 in the morning to 10:30 at night, which I find that weird because I fucking learned that the hard way. It was like it was 10:45, 10:50, and my wife and I are sitting there, you know, a little intoxicated, waiting for the train, waiting. It never showed up because they shut everything down. But it'll run that way back and forth, and it'll Mandalay Bay. It'll hit Luxor, or it'll hit Excalibur, and then it'll go up to Luxor at the end, and then back and forth about every 3 to 7 minutes. So it's not really a long wait, which is kind of cool, you know. And then there's a Skywalk you can catch across MGM from Excalibur if you want to. And we'll cover that kind of later on how to get, like, back and forth from the Strip, basically, on each side. The other one's going to be Bellagio through City Center to Monte Carlo. Again, Monte Carlo, kind of keep in mind, it's getting remodeled. I think, Julian, they're changing it to, like, the Park MGM. Yeah, that's going to be the big thing. And it's kind of cool, you know. Julian and I and Shannon off of Neon Vacation, we kind of wandered around a little bit and checked it out. It's neat what they did. It's kind of a shame because they have a cafe that already closed down, sadly enough. But it's cool. You know, it's cool what's going on. And they have a tram that goes through there. 8 to 4 in the morning, every 15 minutes you can catch that back and forth. The last one is Mirage at Treasure Island. 7 to 2 in the morning, which to me is, you know, awesome time. Every 15 minutes, you can catch that. And Mirage of Treasure Island doesn't seem like it's a lot, but there's an overpass that kind of cuts between them and cuts down, and so it kind of breaks it up a little bit. You know, so it is nice. And I stayed at the Mirage last time. Really enjoy that property. Treasure Island's not bad either. But those are kind of the trams that will go back and forth. And again, you know, later on we'll cover shuttle buses and vans and things that kind of come. You know, you can pick up this to go here and pick up this to go here. But I think somebody actually emailed us, right?
Yes, somebody actually emailed us. Hold on, I got to pull this up real quick.
Oh, I
just because we have so much stuff.
I know we got a lot of stuff to cover.
Yeah.
Which is cool. Again, you know, if you want to email us on anything, you know, more than happy with questions. I mean, we're not, we don't go to Vegas every week or every month, whatever have you, but we kind of both, Julian and I, kind of lay it down pretty firm about where we go and what's what. If we haven't experienced it or we haven't been there, be more than happy to find the answer for you.
Right.
You know, so.
All right, here we go. So this gentleman's name's Austin Bluffs. He was basically talking a little bit in detail on the way he gets around in Vegas. He says, "Hey, guys, heard you guys mention in the podcast you'd be talking about transportation in the future. Here's something I think you might be interested in. I use the city bus and the Deuce." And it's funny, he mentions the Deuce. We heard some funny stories on Chris's show about the Deuce.
Yeah, exactly.
But we'll get through this and then we'll bring that up. But this is probably the number one tip I can tell everyone for travel in Vegas. You can catch the bus right down to the escalator, zero level, and outside the airport after you pick up your luggage. Buy the bus pass at the bus stop machine, $8 for 24 hours or $20 for 3 days. And get on the bus. I always take Route 109 north to Flamingo to transfer to 202 westbound to the Strip and jump off at Caesar's Palace. And again, he's just giving you a heads up on how you can get around. And at Caesar's Palace, once you're there, I mean, you're literally mid-Strip. You can go anywhere around from that point. He also says you can also download the Ride RTC app and use your phone to buy passes and board buses. I have used the app on one trip before, but you might want to read the reviews about the app before going with that.
Nice.
Also, using the ticket machine might be the best unless you are at a bus stop that doesn't have a machine. Then it says use the pass to jump on and off the Deuce of the Strip and go downtown to Fremont. We have also used the city bus to go to places like Green Valley Ranch and Red Rocks. I've never rented a car in Vegas. I've never taken a taxi. He says, although sometimes I use Uber or Lyft. So again, I mean, these are things I've never even heard of, like these trams and how to get around and the buses. I we're too busy. I mean, just it's simple to get a Lyft. But again, if you don't know what's around and you're curious, and I'm pretty sure you'd get some hella cool sights and views on just riding these things too. I can only imagine.
Well, yeah, and the thing is, you know, some people don't really wander away from what they want to do. You know, I mean, I know, you stay in say, Harrah's or whatever have you. You're not more than two or three hotels, casinos around that. Like, you don't get any further out. I'm not like that. I was in the Navy. I fucking wander. That's what I do. I go out, and I want to go downtown. I want to go to this side of the Strip, this side of the Strip. Some people don't, and that's perfectly fine. But, you know, this is all good information. And I don't want to say change subjects too bad, but he mentioned the train. So a little story that, you know, for those of you who have been catching up on this, listen to this from the beginning, kind of about my whole stolen car, you know, bullshit and everything else. I took the train, by the way, so I finally found a car, claim settled, everything's done. And the reason you'll see why I bring this story up, you know, I looked at plane tickets and literally a plane ticket from where I'm at to Vancouver, Washington was like $200-something, but you can take a train for $74. I'm like, oh, you know, train's not bad because the train's going to be, you know, a little bit different clientele, go quick, whatever have you. Just FYI, nope. The people on the train are exactly like the people on the bus. It's about the same thing. It's not any fucking different for, you know, like $77. But I ended up going down and picking up the car and driving up. And I actually got, you know, again, I looked up when I had my car stolen. I was like, okay, what's the top 10 cars that aren't stolen? And this car popped up on the list. And then when I picked the car, I'm picking the color. I'm like, okay, what's the color that doesn't get stolen as often? And so I picked that color that didn't show up on the list. That's kind of so I ended up going to the Mitsubishi Mirage, and I was telling Julia like 3-4 days ago, something like that. I can't fucking wait to drive to Las Vegas and go to the Mirage and tell them to park my Mirage at the Mirage. Ching, ching, ching. I mean, that's dumb, but still. And, you know, the gas mileage on this thing, because I work out of state. You know, I drive 7 miles round trip. I literally fill up the tank on Sunday, and I fill it back up on Friday, and it costs me $17 to fill it up. I can't, you know, I've had trucks, I've had Jeeps, I've had motorbikes, I've had everything. I love this little thing. You know, it's just amazing.
That's what matters, man. As long as you like it. I think you sent me the picture Sunday, and I was cracking
That was a little gay.
I text you back. I'm like, man, you can go around the world in that thing for $5.
Oh, shit. No kidding. Damn near close to it. Well, God, I drove 410 miles, and I put $19 in it. You really can't beat that with a stick.
That's good.
So anyway, just a side trap, not to get everybody off the beaten path. But yeah, that's cool, dude. Yeah, like emails like that, I never thought about. You know, we've actually had the monorail ticket where we do the monorail back and forth, and you can get a 3-day pass, a 1-day pass, and I think a week pass. And if you use it, it is worth it if you use it. If you don't use it, it's not worth it. You know, especially now with the share rides, they're really cutting into that cost a little bit. I think that, you know, the future of Vegas and what they're talking about extending that, I firmly believe that they extend the monorail down towards airport. It's a win-win. I mean, could you imagine getting off the airplane, finding what you're doing, and monorailing all the way to the Strip? You know, it's not that much further. I you know, it's just their funds and what they do, what they decide to do is... You know,
I'm sure it'll happen at some point.
Yeah, eventually, especially now with what's going on. They broke a record for the people traveling per month to Vegas. They broke another record for the amount of people flying in. And
nice.
So, you know, it's crazy. You know, like I said, I love these times, and I love when the economy is good and people are happy and they can afford to travel. You know, it's a good thing. So, but that's our travel segment. Again, we'll cover as we go, you know, different things. We'll cover the buses. We'll cover... you know, the monorail and where to find them, cost, fees, stuff like that. And, you know, hopefully you guys like that. So we actually are going to roll into another one, kind of why we named it this.
Hello.
Yes.
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 I have a confession.
Go on.
Go on.
I've kind of Sin City'd.
All right, so Vegas Confessions. We actually got some things rolling in here, and there's one, and again, any form, you know, and Julian covered it before. You know, we got a Google Voice number set up, we got email set up, and even if you want to call live on the show, if you're that daring, we'll be more than happy to arrange it if you want to just email us and let us know. But we did get an email from actually Mitchell from Canada, it looks like.
Nice.
Yeah, right. I was like, oh shit, here you go, guy. So I'm gonna go ahead and read the email, and then we got one more thing too, a recorded thing we're gonna roll into, but we'll do the email first. So this is kind of what we want, and eventually we'll slim down a little bit of the, you know, the history and the travel and some of the tidbits. It'll still be there. But really we're called Vegas Confessions. Yeah, this is what we want to do. We want to throw more recordings in there, things like that. And this is kind of where it stems from. So anyway, so Dear Vegas Confessions, picture it. Las Vegas, 2007. A bunch of hayseeds from Manitoba, Canada, on their first pilgrimage to Sin City. We've been in town for a few days at this point, but both me and my buddies were still very wide-eyed and awestruck, and to some extent still very naive and innocent. In addition to all the usual stuff like the casinos, neon, and costumes, one of the things we had continually commented on was how pretty all the people were. All the young ladies all dolled up, makeup perfect. I mean, words that weird, but it's funny. Oh man, all hair done. Skimpy outfits with everything pushed, prodded, padded, or taped into just the right place. It quickly became apparent that a Vegas 7 would have been a 10 back home in Manitoba. Dude, check out her out. Become a common refrain, along with a subtly placed elbow to the other guy's ribs or a tap on the shoulder. And this is exactly what happened on this fateful occasion as we were walking somewhere South Strip. I know where this is going. That's why I'm snickering. Sorry, guys. Both me and my buddy noticed her at the same time. I elbow him the ribs. He taps me on the shoulder. I say, hey, holy shit, look at her. Past we weren't as subtle as we should have been. We're in the Vegas and we've been drinking. Fuck off. Don't judge me. That's him, not me. If we were walking south, she was just going north towards us. You know, Tall, dark-skinned, very, very attractive, wearing what could only be described as a skin-tight, silver, sequined dress. She looked like she was headed either to or from a club. By all accounts, a goddess, albeit a goddess in somewhat skanky outfit. I said again, I don't judge. So as she approaches, it quickly becomes apparent that she noticed us noticing her. And like I said, we weren't subtle. As she passes us on my buddy's side, she looks at him dead in the eye, winks, and says to a baritone fit for Richard Brooks or James Earl Jones, "Hello, sweetie." So I think I ran into some of these. Not even in Vegas, but there's a lot of Vegas. Apparently, the one thing rather naive asses didn't know until she was much closer was the distinct presence of an Adam's apple. This entire time we've been chicken out a dude. I warn you not to judge me. So there it is. That's my Vegas confession. Whole lot of setup, very little punchline. Hope you enjoyed it. And cheers. Regards, Mitchell. Yes. He's got a PS on here too, which is fucking hilarious. What's almost funnier than the story is every time me and my buddy tell it out loud to someone, the lady's voice when she says, "Hello, sweetie," drops by at least half an octave every time. But I think that's part of the fun in telling the exaggeration. But it did happen more or less exactly as described. Peace. So.
Yeah. That's awesome. That is so awesome. Well done, cool. Sir. Thank you so much.
That is cool. I love it. I love it. So, yeah, anyway, that's Mitchell from Canada. So, again, we'll take emails. We'll take recordings. We got a Google Voice set up and everything that we'll cover kind of towards the end. But, you know, shit like that. And hopefully it just gets dirtier and skankier because, you know, I just can't wait. You know, that's awesome. That's kind of the confession side. We're going to do some closing notes here. Julian, you got anything on your side?
Before we get into closing notes, I want to do something a little switch up real quick.
Oh,
I didn't warn you, but this is a little exclusive. I'm going to actually read real quick some of the reviews that people have left us. I mean, it just baffles me saying that people have actually reviewed us. And, you know, we've only been doing this, you know, a month. But again, we love Vegas. We love the stuff and the stories that come from it. And, you know, I mean, every time you hear somebody talk about getting ready to go to Vegas, they're super excited. And, you know, that's the enjoyment and stuff like that you look forward to. And, you know, I'm going to actually read off a couple reviews here. This one, go figure, is from Mitch Wiggins. It says, very good podcast, a very enjoyable podcast with a very likable host. There you go.
Oh, which one? Fucking you or me? Did he say host or host ta?
I don't know. You're the hoe. I'll be the host.
No, doesn't matter.
We have another one by Vegas by Monday. It says 5-star. First one was a 5-star as well. This one, 5-star. Good start for 2 first-timers. Show has a strong potential, and you can never have enough Vegas. These guys will fit nicely into the family of Vegas/gambling podcasts out there. Worth checking out. Thank you, brother. We appreciate that.
Oh,
man.
Fuck yeah. That's awesome, dude. Yeah.
Our other one next coming up is, go figure, Chris Moore, 28, 5-star. We appreciate you, Chris. One of the best things about Vegas are the stories. Hearing all the great stories is what keeps me glued to the podcast. Julian and Shane are awesome, and I am proud that they are a part of my Vegas crew. It says, Vegas is so much better with a group of friends you can come back with. Some of the best stories? I appreciate it, brother. He says, keep it up, guys. And again, man,
that's cool.
This is some of the love that we get and we want to give, you know, so we don't ever want it to end. And we have another one. The Green Korean says 5-star. Great start with a lot of promise. It says the hosts love each different things about Vegas, and hearing the two of them compare and contrast their experiences makes for compelling listening. Great show. Thank you, brother. I believe that's Chris from Faces and Aces as well.
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
We also have another one that says, great listen. Collie, BJ, fun to listen to. Time flew by. Love all the different topics. 5-star again. Guys, thank you so much, man. That means a lot, man. That's what we're looking for.
Yeah,
that
is kick-ass. That's good. And even if there's bad ones, we probably should read the bad ones too.
Hell yeah. We'll read them.
We haven't had any, hopefully, so far.
Damn, you know they're coming now.
I know, right?
Way to invite that, Shane.
Yeah, no.
But no, seriously, guys, thank you. This helps us, you know, helps iTunes even spread the word out that we even exist, you know, and people are going to start acknowledging us because of you guys. And again, we can't ask for more, but. You guys just spreading the word of mouth. Hey, you love Vegas? You want to listen to another podcast? And I know people, especially as podcast fans, and I don't want to get this misconstrued. Before I am a podcaster, I am more of a podcast fan than anything because, man, you know, we love this stuff. And that's this is what we enjoy doing. But, you know, being able to do this is a lot of fun. But being able to cover a lot of the different topics, too, and fly through a lot of this stuff, like I said, I love being like listening to a podcast and being a fly on the wall, listening to two people conversate. Right, and that's the best thing about podcasts for me. So, again, getting feedback and having you guys spread the word out that we even exist. We know there's 15 other Vegas podcasts, but again, we are the newest one and we want to have fun with that. We want to have a great time with you guys. And again, we want you guys to be interactive. So, you know, that being said, we want you guys to email us. We'll definitely read your emails. We'll read the bad iTunes reviews if we have to, whatever it takes to make us better. So we know what you guys want. But again, we feel we have great topics, great stories. We have a lot of people starting to email in, and we just want to make sure we get the calls and everything laid out right before we start putting everything out there.
Right, exactly.
Again, we're not professionals with this. We're still trying to get this going, but we're getting equipment better. We're getting things put together in place by place.
Did you use the word professional? Because, yeah, I'm glad you said
that. Yeah, right. So, I mean, we're trying to get things going. So again, we appreciate you guys bearing with us. Obviously, you guys can tell we were just two Vegas lovers that got this going, and we had a great idea to just let's get it going. You know, we know the people, we know what this potentially can be like and the type of people it reaches, and we want to embrace that. So, you know, this is why we got involved, and I can't stress that enough. So, you know, on my closing side, I want to thank everybody who's left us a review. I appreciate you guys very much. And again, like I said, over this last week with all the positive feedback about everything we're doing and how we're going about the podcast and what they're liking, what they're hearing, it means a lot and it overwhelms me. And I come home talking to my wife about it every day. Like, do you believe these people are actually listening? And, you know, to think people would actually download us and listen to us, I mean, it excites us and it makes us want to come back even better, you know? So
definitely.
Again, I can't thank you guys enough. I mean, again, I can start naming off a lot of the podcasts in our pod family, but again, if they're a Vegas podcast or gambling related podcast, you know, they're a big part of our family. And I can't send enough love on my end to everybody who's we've met and everybody that's made this and spread the word about us and have people reach out to us. It means a lot, you guys. So all you different podcasts, thank you very much. Each and every one of you guys have helped us out in a different way. And again, if you guys are interested in getting a hold of us, we are Vegas Confessions Podcast at Gmail and Vegas Confessions Pod at Gmail. We are our phone number. It's a voicemail service for 3 minutes at a time. If you got something juicy, again, do not be afraid to call back and leave us a good story. Get the end of it in, and we'll clip the sound together. The number is area code 559-461-7488. You can be anonymous. You can cuss. And again, if you just want to send an email in, that's fine too. We'll read it out, and we'll make sure we get your story out. So definitely, guys, get in contact with us. So again, our biggest goal is making this podcast interactive and having a good time with you guys. So.
Exactly. And yeah, and just like, you know, Julian said too, yeah, you know, we got friends in Vegas, and that's kind of, you know, how we met, obviously, and things like that. But for those of you who've never been to Vegas or you don't know or whatever have you, you're not in the loop either. Hopefully something like this makes you say, hey, man, this community is really kind of fucking cool. And that's why we love it so much. You know, I actually was talking to a guy that I met to Vegas the other day, and he's like, oh, your content, what you're doing, and da-da-da. And, you know, whoa. Like Julian said, we're a fan. I'm still a fan. I fucking love it. You know, I love what I hear. We still have, you know, I have 30-something odd podcasts, and you know, again, 12 of them are Vegas. You know, we're not on this side yet in my mind. I personally haven't really stepped over here. But, you know, for somebody new that doesn't know, and that's kind of why we mixed it up a little bit to make sure, you know, if, you know, getting around and this and that. And it's all, you know, coming to the family. I mean, that's, you know, even if you don't know, come to the family, and that's, the community is neat. And in this day and age, sometimes, you know, it's hard to kind of grasp onto something that feels good and comfortable and you know, brings you a little bit of peace, you know, as weird as that sounds. And that's what we want to do, you know, because this is fun for us. And this is, you know, this isn't work. This is just, this is fun. This is awesome.
This is one of the funnest free things we can do. You know what I mean?
Right, exactly. Yeah, I know the first, actually. Yeah, hint, hint. So yeah. Yeah, you covered the email and you covered the number. Unless you don't have anything, man. We're saying pretty good time.
Do you want to just give everybody a shout out about Travel's Work one last time before we can, we have something
come up?
Yeah, we can
up. Actually do travel. Oh, actually, I apologize. So that's one thing that we're kind of kicking around an idea because we're on the holidays. You know, Thanksgiving's coming up. You know, we got family stuff going on, and then literally the next weekend after that is going to be Travel's Work. So it's really, really tight. So Julian and I, we might throw out something that's kind of a impromptu type next episode. And it's not going to be scripted like this, but it's going to be fun just to kind of banter back and forth. And I think we're going to put that out before the trip. Our thinking is, with the Travel Zork, by the way, Atlantic City, December 1st. It is a Gamblers Expo, along with other things, comps, travel. Again, you know, Julian knows a few more people for it than I do, but I know some. And again, the community has just been awesome. You know, so, yeah, we'll promote Travel Zork. But what we want to do is I've never been to the East Coast. Again, we covered – Julian's never been to the East Coast. I think these next two episodes are going to be like, hey, welcome to the East Coast. And we're going to do some ad lib. We're going to obviously, hopefully, we come back from Zorkfest with recordings and interviews and some ad libbing stuff and some impromptu you know.
Oh, I know. I'm planning to sit people down and get their stories.
Oh, God. Yeah, exactly. I hope so. So that's kind of what the next – two might be. Bear with us, you know, because this is an experience for us, and hopefully when you guys hear it, it's going to be a good thing. And it's not going to, you know, we're not changing our script, so don't worry about it, what we want to talk about. But this is kind of, we may never get to the East Coast again, so fuck it, why not?
Right.
You know,
I think our next episode, we might actually have somebody on from the East Coast, so that might be a little special surprise too for you guys.
Yeah, that would be cool. Yeah, something else I got to figure out on my side. Yay, technology. But anyway, man, I'm cool. Are you cool?
I'm cool. All you people, be cool. We'll talk to you soon, guys.
Cheers.